Blog Talk Radio.
Mentorship before the kingdom of God. As I said once before, those of you going to be joining the broadcast, can come on to be a part of the service this afternoon. And we just thank God for those who are joining us who had a heart to hear what the Lord has to say. And it's always a good time for us to understand the Word of God in the season that we're in. But we don't want to delay the time. We don't want to prolong anything that the Lord is about to do for this season. We want to go right into the Word and hear that's what the Lord has to say concerning this Word that he's about to bring from the kingdom. For those of you going to be called into the studio today, there's a number that we have on hand. It's 347-637-1074. Once again, let me give that out to you once again. It's 347-637-1074. For those of you who listen to my website, you can go to your website or go on my website. It's just harvestnewlifechurch.com. As you go to the website, go over to the little button that says services. As you click on the services, pull up the page, look over there to your right. You'll see a Blog Talk Radio station that deals with the area in which we're going to be broadcasting live on this internet broadcast, and you too will be able to come into the service. But let's get right into this word as we open up with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we declare and we decree right now, even as we begin to speak, that the power of the Spirit and the word you're about to bring forth be something that will help the Spirit, that help those who have an ear to hear. Lord, your word is declared that he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of Lord has to say to the church. And Father God, I just declare and decree by the power of God and by the power of the Spirit that as we begin to go forth, that no weapon formed against us should prosper and nothing will be able to stand. And we decree the word according to the Spirit that you may understand and know that through you, Father God, everything is all things are possible. Well, in the studio this morning, we also have First Lady, Co-Pastor Patty Ellis, who's going to be reading from the book of Zechariah. Reading from the book of Zechariah. And as she reads from the book of Zechariah, she's going to be bringing forth the word in such a way that we are going to hear what the Lord has to say concerning the Spirit and what he's put on my heart for this afternoon. And we're going to do just that in the name of Jesus. And as she prepare ourselves, I want to know that as we get prepared for the scripture and begin to read, we're going to be coming out of the book of Zechariah 3, and we're going to be moving forth in the Word of God, and we're going to hear just what the Lord has to say. And it's just a lot of things that's been going on in the body of Christ during this season. So many times we see the things that are going on in the body of Christ, we ignore them and we don't even pay attention to them. Sometimes we go in the house of God, and we go in the house of God with the understanding of thinking that, you know, it's okay. You can't continue to walk in the Egypt mentality to receive the promises of God. And we just ask each and every one of you to look upon us and keep us in your prayers as we go forth, as we decree this word according to the Spirit. As we continue to hear, that's what the Lord has to say to the church. We ask each and every one to pray for us as we move forward. There's been a lot of different things that we see that's going on. Matter of fact, First Lady's on the line right now as we get ready to get started. And she's going to be reading from the book of Zechariah. We start at chapter 3. We try to get the fade. We got some echo that's coming back into the service, but we're going to rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Every line on the service be clear that the word that comes forth will be a word that you are here that's coming through the Spirit. Got my little daughter in the studio. It's good for her to be in the presence where we are, to hear the Word of God. I think this is something that all mothers and parents should do with their children. Bring them before the Word, teach them to pray, and teach them what the Word of God is all about. It's not too young that they can't learn. We want to put them on a level that supersedes their own understanding, that even when they go into the Word of God, they'll know how to pray and protect themselves in the Word of God. Too many times we got so many Christians in the body of Christ who don't really know how to do a fervent prayer. They know how to pray, but they don't believe the prayer that they're praying. Because if they did believe the prayer that they're praying, they wouldn't be going through so much chaos to the point of posting everything that they see to go in their personal life on the internet. And they'll take it to God in prayer. The Word of God says, if you have an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say. Man don't have the ability to give you what the Holy Spirit has got in store for you. According to Jeremiah 32 and 17, he said the plans that he have. In other words, is there anything too hard for him to get? We take that same scripture, we take it all the way back to the book of Jeremiah 29:11, which is a scripture we just don't throw out. So many people throw it out as just a cliche. But when the Word of God tells you there's a GPS system for your life, that he says in Jeremiah 29:11, the plan is not through man, but it's through me. The problem with man has always been man. So one thing about it, we don't want to get to the point, we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We don't want to think too much that I'm an apostle, which God calls apostles in the body of Christ according to the book of Ephesians. We see the fivefold ministries could be coming in full effect. You know, the pastor, prophet, teaching, evangelist, the pastor, teachers. We see these things coming in effect. But when we get to those areas in our life, we don't want to think ourselves have been superseded over anyone. Man's problem has always been the problem of wanting to have the high seat. We begin to make church now into a high seat issue. that we got the apostles here. We do have those. We got the bishops now. We got these doctors and these lawyers, all these people who want to have these high-ranking names. But I tell you, if you ever like me and you did any kind of collegiate sports or did anything to bring together unity according to Psalms 133, you got to understand that you are part of the gear that clicks also. You're not a master gear, but you're one of the gears. That means the head can't do without the body. The body can't say that, you know, I'm the eye, and I can't say I'm the arm. In other words, these things in the body you can't come together with. And we know how that scripture goes. No man can think of himself as being anything more than the offer thing. Now, Paul said it in his word. You know, I should not think more highly of myself than the altar thing. Now, he didn't say you can't think high. He just said don't think more highly. And so when we go into the Word of God, we want to understand that it's not the size of the mortar and stone that you go through. It's the size of the Word that's in your heart. That's why the Word of God says that come as you are. It's not about the cliches, the style, the big hats and suits. That's fine, dandy, good. I wear those too. But that garment that I have on can be just as filthy as my heart is if I'm not walking right with Christ. We're going to go ahead and get started in this study today. We're not going to be with you too long. Don't want to prolong you. But we're going to start in the book of Zechariah. We're going through the phase of scriptures. I'm going to have First Lady, Co-Pastor Patty Ellis, is going to be actually coming along beside me and just, you know, just meeting with us as a unity, as a team. We work as a unity. And then we work together because we know the power of the Spirit. So that's two or three guys in the midst, he'll be there also. So we believe that even though we're there in the flesh, the power of the Holy Spirit in God is right there, and his Son is right there with us in this teaching we're going to today. We're going to open up, and we're going to go to the book of Zechariah. We're going to have Co-Pastor Patty Ellis start reading from Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. We're going to do some scriptural breakdown and teaching on this. We're going to hear what the Lord has to say. First Lady, you can go ahead and get started.
All right. We're at Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?
Now, right there, let's look at those first two verses. Matter of fact, let's go on down, woman of God. Let's go on down to verse 4, 5, and 7. And let's stop at 7, and let's do a narrative breakdown as we go. Let's go ahead and continue on with 3, and let's go on to 7. And let's hear what the word of the Lord has to say.
Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto them that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my court. And I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, even as you give me the strength to go forth, Lord, I anoint my head with the presence of the power of the Spirit, that everything I speak be not of myself, but through the power of the Most High God. Lord, I declare a decree that even as every unchecked spirit, in the name of Jesus, every soothsaying spirit and every outside voice that come at the subject of the power of the blood, I declare right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that every word that come under the anointing of the blood, in the name of Jesus, everything that we speak on today will line up according to the scripture, and that what you have spoken in this particular verse dealing with your prophet, Zechariah, and the words he brought on to Joshua in Hagar the priest. Now, when we look at verse 1, we see that and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Now, let's do the first part of this series right now. We want to bring it down to actual the biblical teaching part of it, and then we want to break it down to a more or less the principles, how it deals and pertains to us in our life. Now, we know the Lord is dealing with Israel. We know he's dealing with Israel in such a way that they've been in the area of their spiritual erroneous. They're having some problems, and they're very teaching in terms of how they are to present themselves before the Lord, before God. Now, it says, according to the notes, and I've been studying this thing, it says the Lord spoke through the prophet Haggai. From this day, I will bless you. You look at the book of Haggai 2 and 19. Now, consequently, the blessing, as I speak, the blessing which is both material and spiritual. Let's get this together. The blessing is about to take place in both material and spiritual. We want to get this. Now, the commerce is with the material part, which is the promise to Haggai. And the spirit of the part is given to Zechariah. Let me say that again, the commerce. You know what commerce we talks about. We're talking about the very physical thing. Now, we understand, according to Haggai 2 and 19, it deals with the blessing, both material and spiritual. In other words, looking at a double, and we look almost like a manifold anointing. Now, the commerce, we deal with the material part of the promise of Haggai. And the spiritual part is given to Zechariah. Let's hear this real close. Now, the first phase speaks of the high priest Joshua. After the captivity, he succeeded in Jodekai, who died in Babylon. Let me say that again. The first phase speaks of the first high priest Joshua. Now, we're dealing with Haggai, we're dealing with Joshua in this particular chapter. I want to get this right. After the captivity of succeeding his father, which is Jodekai, these words sometimes get you a little, Jodekai, who died in Babylon, Joshua, as the high priest, was representative. Now, he came into place. Now, let me just kind of break that a little bit in terms of how we are as men and women of God, and we're raised by our parents, and then when our parents leave their inheritance, we are the next in the family to supersede, whether you have 4 family members, 12 family members, or 15 family members. The one who was chosen spreads the blessing. This is why God chooses somebody without an egotistical attitude or to the point to have what you call a grumbling, a greedy attitude. So sometimes the middle child is usually the one who receives, or the older child is the one to receive. We see this very strong in the Bible when it speaks about when Joseph began to prophesy the words onto his brothers and then onto his mother and father. But in the midst of everything that was going on, jealousy began to creep into the camp. Am I talking to somebody this afternoon? Jealousy began to creep into the camp. With that jealousy creep in the camp, it brought upon a spiritual death sentence of the one who's supposed to inherit that what the Lord has in place for them. We know that the father made a coat of many colors, which was a tunic. And we know that when the brothers began to see him in the field, they began to speak the word. Here come the prophet. Here come the man that speaks the words of God. And they began to dig a pit and throw him into the pit. And after the process, we know that Joseph was thrown into the pit, and as he was thrown into the pit, we knew he got sold to a band of Ishmaelites. Let me get that right. He got sold to a band of Ishmaelites, and then process of going over to Egypt, we see the prophecy begin to come forth, how he began to go into the process of going into the dungeon and going to the very places of being locked up. And after being locked up, he came out and began to speak some prophetic words to that particular king that was in charge. We see that in the midst of everything that he was going through, there was a lot of accusing going on against him before he reached his high throne. And we see the process of everything that took place. Before everything began to take place in his life, he began to become second in the cause of all of Egypt. Now, let's look at this again. I said the first phase that it speaks about the high priest, which is Joshua, after the captivity, succeeding his father, Jodekai. And then it said who died in Babylon. Joshua was the high priest that was representative of the eternity of the priesthood. Come on, somebody. And also of Israel. In other words, we're coming by some charge. The angel of the Lord, at least in this instant, of Jehovah. In other words, we look at the angel of the Lord. We're looking at Jehovah himself. We know the word Jehovah is he's our provider. The angel Jehovah, which is Jehovah himself, began to send in the provision angel. You know, he's about to get blessed with the provisions of what God has guaranteed with him according to the word of God as we begin on to speak in verse 2. But we want to get to this first. Now, the angel of provision is Jehovah. He's your Jehovah Jireh. He's your provider. And this next verse, we speak of Zechariah, is seeing all of this in a vision. Now, this is a powerful vision. The first lady always speaks a word about how you see things, like you got what you call foreknowledge. You have foreinsight. You ask God to give you revelatorial wisdom, revelatorial knowledge, revelatorial seeing, that the things that take place in your life when you're walking as a prophet, you see it before they come in. Now, you just don't blab things out because it feel good in your flesh. No, these things are done by honestly prayer. And the word of God does declare a fervent prayer of the righteous man, it avails. What avails means that it begins to plethora. It begins to give you more than you expect. God begins to show you things about yourself and the provisions that he have in store for you more than you can imagine, the more you can understand. Now, Jeremiah does declare this thing over Jeremiah 29:11. If you're walking right in God's eyes, you understand that you're under his direction. And then he said, no good thing without hold from those who walk upright. We see this very verse over in Psalms 84:11. We see it coming to pass again according to Matthew 6:33, because he begins to seek. As he begins to seek, he'll find out that in his house, as it says in Joshua 1:8, we will serve the Lord. If you have to meditate on the word of God to receive that what God has in store for you. Now we see that Zechariah, seeing all this in a vision, which gives us a glimpse of the spiritual world. Come on, somebody. You got to talk to me this afternoon. Because now we're seeing something more prophetic. We're seeing something more far than we can ever imagine or we can understand. Now, when you look at the book of Romans 4:17 says, through the power of God, he's been giving you the ability under the Abrahamic covenant. In other words, you got the ability, according to now that Jesus has come on the scene, and he's beginning to knock every demonic thought, every demonic spirit, every soothsaying thing that ever tried to come against you. Matter of fact, Colossians says in Colossians 3 that he's wiped out all the handwriting on the wall that was contrary against you. Now, when I speak of this, you got to be careful when I say, because I'm putting scripture together, and I want you to see what I'm saying here. The word of God does declare it, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creature. When you're walking as a new creature, you walk in his ways and his statutes and his commandments. Those of you who are with us on last week during the study of Deuteronomy, we're not done with it yet. In the book of Deuteronomy 8, the Lord began to give them a prophetic understanding about how they are to obey themselves when coming to the new land that he gave for them. So forth in the word of Zechariah. It's coming through the prophet Haggai. It's coming through all these different things that's about to happen in the life of this man. And he's seeing everything in the vision. He's getting foreknowledge before it happens. Don't tell me what God can't do. And even in the midst when God began to do foresight in your life and show you the things to come, guess who's going to be standing by to try to rebuke you and try to bring up your past? Satan. And Satan standing at the right hand resisted him, it says. This same is the personality described in Job 1:6-12. We see in Job 1:6, he says, Satan, where goest thou? He said, I'm going to and forth, up and down, and seeking who I may devour. But then the word of God, he put his servant on point. Meaning when you come into the word of God, when you begin to come into salvation, we understand the word of salvation, Romans 8:9-10, the confession of the mouth and the believing of the heart. We talked about the heart in our last series. If you hear these series, you hear them taking place, it's some very strategic teaching going on because God has anointed me to be able to do this work. I know I'm anointed and I know I'm appointed. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to scream at you. I'm not going to get into all these different things that make you feel good and fuss. I'm going to teach you what the word of God has declared from the kingdom. Now, when we look at the soul, we look at the heart. The soul, the heart is the sack of your soul. What goes in your heart comes out of your mouth. It proceeds out of your mouth. Now, the word of God said, according to Romans 8:9-10, if any man be in Christ, Romans 8:9-10, but the confession, but we go back to 1 Corinthians, and we look at 1 Corinthians 8:9-10, the word of God begins to take us about the process. I talk about how if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All old things are passed away. Now, that's 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Now notice this. We want to make this very careful when we hear this. When we understand that process, we got to look at the rebirthing, the renewing of what God has genetically engineered and designed for you to be. Okay, let's stop here. Let's note. Let's take it back to the book of Jeremiah. We see in the book of Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed, I knew. In other words, everything that God pre-proceeded for you to be according to his will, his purpose, will do what it's designed to do. How can we say that? Because the word of God said his word won't go void. What do we find in it? And what? Isaiah 55, what? 11. My word will go forth, it will not come back void. How do we understand that? We take it back to the New Testament. We look at the man of God who had a son who was demon-possessed, and the disciples that were with Jesus didn't have the power or the ability to pronounce this demon out of this young boy. Jesus began to call him up a first generation of people. How should I deal with you? How long should I stay with you? Why is Jesus saying that? Because as of right now, we as a people don't understand the power that God has given unto us, that when he came and told us over in Hebrews 12 that I am the author and the finisher of your faith, I declare by the word of God that everything I'm designed to show you, you are designed to do. Now let's move on, because I don't want to get you too confused, because I'm throwing a lot of stuff at you, and I want you to take your notes. If you don't have time, go back over to the archives and listen to this message, because I'm telling you, it's a strong word that's coming from the kingdom. And if you don't understand what's going on in it, you will lose it. Now, as we look at this scripture further, we go down to verse 2. It says, the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan, even the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. Is not this the brand, come on somebody, plucked out of the fire? Now, we're looking at Zechariah, and we're looking at Joshua. We're looking at Haggai the priest and the performance of all these three characters taking place. Now, according to the verse 2, God has chosen you, even not as he chose Zechariah and Haggai, even the area of the Pacific of the prophecy is coming forth. He's chosen you in the same manner. What are you saying, Pastor Ellis? It seems like you're confusing me. Well, if you hear what I'm telling you, you'll understand that you've been labeled as being a high priest. God has called you a man of God, a woman of God, to walk in the statutes and commandments of the power, to be able to do what he said he's going to do according to his will. Now, he did say, am I a God that I should lie? Or I'm a son of a man that I should have to repent. Now, what we have right now that's going on in the body of Christ, most of all, is the opposite of what we see in Isaiah 53 and 8. Matter of fact, let's flip over to Isaiah 53 and 8. Let's hear what the Lord has to say in Isaiah 53 and 8. Now, this is very strong stuff that I'm telling you. And if you're not going to catch it, it's not a good song, it's not a hoop and a holler, I'm not going to blow my brains out trying to talk to you, I'm telling you what they say the Lord says. And if you understand what the Lord is telling you, in this season that you're in, you too shall prevail, and that's what God has in store for you. Now, as I roll over here, we look at the book of Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah 55. And let's look at this real closely. Now, we stand in Zechariah, and we deal with a little bit of Jeremiah, and we're going to see some things, how this is going to come together. Hold your horses, because I'm going somewhere with this. And you're going to hear just what the word of God is speaking in the spirit. If you have an ear to hear, I'm not talking about something that you read out of a book. I'm speaking something through the Holy Spirit. The scriptures that I speak to you are designed and engineered to show you that you got the power according to the kingdom. It's not by denomination. It's not by cliques, clubs, titles, and positions. It's not by who you know. It's for your long walk with Christ has been the prophecy that he's put in you that he declared before the foundations of the world, that you too have the ability to do everything that God has declared unto you. And we'll read later on Haggai, as he said, as he continued to get this prophecy into him, through these prophets, through this word, through this vision, he will declare unto the man Joshua that no man, according to your past, has got the ability to hold you back. And now this is based on 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. When a new baby is born, guess what? You can't talk about his past because he just was born. Now, I hear somebody grumbling in the spirit, but that's all right, because I'm not ready to rebuke you and shut you down in the name of Jesus, because this word is going to go forth. See, what you have is book knowledge, and you don't have spiritual knowledge, but the spirit you have is not lining up with the word of God, because if it did, you'd be in cohesion with what's going on, or you'd be in coalition, or you'd be in parade of what's going on here, because you hear this word speaking powerfully. Now, it says in Isaiah 55, let me see, Isaiah 55, 8. Now, this is what he says, the reason you're getting confused. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, say who? The Lord. Now, he's speaking something here. No matter what your wisdom that you have, or what you think you may have according to the book, you don't have the ability to stand up what the word of God is saying. Let me go on to here, because I'm going to move you to another scripture, and I want you to see what I'm saying. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, yeah, that's going to read along with me because I'm telling you the truth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Now, the word of God does declare it's for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. That means God has given you the ability to go far beyond any PhD or doctorate degree. I don't care what kind of label you got in your name. I believe you walk upright. according to Psalms 84:11. That Bible says, no good thing we hold from those. And the ways of the Lord is the ways of the kingdom. This is why he speaks the word when he does the model prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, let the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. He said, give us this day our daily bread. And lead us not into temptation. The temptation is the things you do when you don't know how to line up with other fellow men in the Word of God to come together and iron sharp as iron. The ones who abuse the Word and go against the Word of God are the ones who have the most problems in their life. Because why? Because they don't have an ear to hear. And the Word of God does declare, if you got an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit has to say. Now, you can't line this up with just kind of theological study in terms of what you see, because I've been to theological study myself. And a lot of things they teach in the theologian seminary is not what you get through the Spirit. That's why it says the Word of God was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The man of God wrote the Word by the Holy Spirit. You believe in world book, but you don't believe in this book. You believe in a book that somebody wrote that lay you on an operating table and cut it. You believe them before you believe this book. In other words, you believe in a man who could cut you open from read from a book, but you won't believe this book. I don't want to get on anybody too bad this afternoon because I want to move forward in this world where we're speaking today. Now I'm going to take it through a plethora of scriptures because I move in the Spirit. I just don't stick with one or two verses and go to running my mouth like a crazy man. I'm lining and paralleling stuff up according to the Spirit. Now, this is what you have if you believe the Word of God, what he said in Isaiah. My ways, your ways, my thoughts, your thoughts. What is he saying? Persistence precedes your prayers. In other words, when you begin to pray, if you be persistent in your prayer, you'll understand that the Word of God is guaranteed to go forth. What are you saying, Pastor Ellis? Well, we talked about it in the book of Luke 11. Luke 11 began to talk about how God began to go, Jesus was the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinum. He said, and it came to pass in the 11th chapter of Luke, it says, when it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, and he ceased. And now look, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to do what? Teach us to pray. Now, we can go on down and see what prayer does. Prayer brings forth persistence. When we take this very verse, when we go from Luke chapter 11, we look on to the very fourth verse, and it says that in giving us our sins, forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone who's indebted. Now, the word in debt means that you can't hold nothing over nobody's head. If you're going to walk in the kingdom of God, you got to get the hardness, the callous out of your heart. You can't be going around speaking things that you ought not to speak. In other words, you can't go to church one day and then come back and have spicy language all over again. You got to be the light in which God has called you to be. Now, I'm getting into a whole other teaching because I feel the power of God move, but I want to stay with this Haggai. I want to stay with this word in Haggai. Now, as we go back to the book of Haggai, Zechariah. I want to get this right, Zechariah, because I feel the Spirit moving in this thing. We go back to the book of Zechariah. I don't want to get too far. I had to give you a little leeway about where God has already designed and engineered for you to be, because you are designed to what? To launch forward. You are designed to catapult in a vision. Now, we read over in verse 2 of chapter 3 of Zechariah, we see that the Lord said he rebuked Satan, who stood at his right hand resisting him. Now, he said he rebuked, not only Satan, but he rebuked, you know, Jerusalem, and he rebuked, is not this the brand that is plucked out of the fire? Now, you were in a fire once before. God pulled you out, and God is putting a prophetic vision in your face, in your life to come to pass. Now, it goes on, and you break down the narrative of this particular chapter, or this particular verse. It says the first phase continues the Lord's answer to Satan. Now, the accusation is of Joshua, the high priest. Now, we see in the second verse, the first verse, it talks about in the area how Haggai in the spiritual part is given to Zechariah. When we come down here to the second part, which is verse 2, we see that the first phase contains the Lord's answers to Satan's accusation. Satan is always bringing an accusation against you, but he's bringing an accusation against Joshua as if he's not worthy to be the high priest who's beginning to see this prophetic vision that's coming from Haggai and Zechariah to come into his life. And sometime when God brings something so awesome into your life, people don't think you're worthy to be able to have it. People don't think you got the ability to be able to have it. We go back to Joseph. We see that his brothers came against him. They didn't think that Joseph had the ability, being the youngest of all, to reign. And now we see later on in Genesis, we see Joseph become a second in charge of all of Egypt. So goes for you. When God began to speak a prophetic word into your life and prophetic utterance, your job is to believe and declare and decree that there's nothing too hard for God to do. According to Jeremiah 32:17, he can do it. Because he said, there's anything too hard for me to do. The problem comes in is us. It's not the seed, which is the word. It's the ground that's been sown into. Sometimes God can give us a vision so strong and so powerful that we got doubt because we begin to look at what we call our five senses, which is our four walls, our five walls that block us. We begin to look at things with the visual. We begin to hear things with the hearing. We begin to speak things with the mouth. We begin to envision things around us that our senses don't quite understand and see. But how many know the old saying that the old mothers used to say in the church, God is a God that makes a way out of no way. When you don't understand and see what God is doing for you, your job is to do just what he said to the disciples over there in Luke 11. When he began to stray away, one of the disciples came to him, he began to teach them how to pray. They said, pray just to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. When you learn to pray, and understand that God has given you such a prophetic vision in your life that you got to proceed to go forth, that you're not in the position. Now I'm going to jump off track for here a little bit, that you're not in a position to be able to go and lay down with Egypt. In other words, things that seems good to you may not be good for you. Just because the physical attraction looks good, you got to find out about the spiritual attraction. Is that thing got the ability to line up with the Word of God, or is it just a physical thing? Now, we hear this all the time. Well, I'm not going to marry nobody that's going to broke. I'm not going to be with nobody that got no money. Well, you know what? It looks like the same thing would happen to David when he went to choose all these other mighty men of God in Jephthah's house, and guess what happened? They didn't even look like nothing. But he told that prophet Samuel that there's one more out there flocking the sheep in the field. Come on, somebody. And when you understand the word of God and what he declared onto the prophet Samuel to go out and anoint this young man who didn't even look like he had the ability to become the king of anything. I'm not getting off the book of Zechariah because this is the way they're looking at Joshua in this particular prophetic vision. Now, we look at Saul. Saul was on the throne, but Saul didn't have the obedience to stay on the throne. Now, they wanted a king, so they appointed Saul as being king, so God granted them what they wanted. He'll give you what you want, meaning that he don't give you what you desire in his will. If you pray for enough, he'll give you what you want. But don't be crying when you fall into subject, when you fall into problems, and you fall into proclivities, when you fall into subjectiveness, and you begin to ask God, why me? No, that's what you ask for. If you say, let my will be done on earth that is in heaven, then God will give you his will. But the problem with most of us, we don't want to wait for God's will. We want our own will. In other words, as I said before, the problem with man has always been man because we want to do things our way. Well, Proverbs does tell us in 3 and 5, lean not to your own, but acknowledge God what? All his way, and then he what? He directs your path. And when we understand that God has got a plan for our life, our job is to do just what it says in the book of Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom. And when we seek the first of the kingdom, we got to line it up with what he said in the book of Luke 11. The man who came from a long journey, he had nothing to set before them. And as he came into the house and began to knock on his neighbor's door, the man said, what's in the door, go away, because me and my children are in bed. But through the man's persistence to continue to keep knocking, that brother got up out of his bed and woke up and lit the lantern and got all the bread in the house that he needed to give him so he wouldn't bother him anymore. Am I talking to somebody? When you be persistent in what God has called you to do and what he's telling you to do, God will provide the provision that you need. In other words, never bounce your vision off a provision, because God said if he's going to put it together, then it's going to be the way he wants to be put together, and he's going to do it in his time. But your word and the word that you got is to be able to call things to be not what they were. Now, I don't want to get off the subject about Saul. Saul was a good man of God, but Saul didn't have the obedience that David was about to come into. In other words, David was a man who didn't look like he had the ability to be a king. Saul had all the raiment and all the outside things that it looked like to be a king. In other words, Saul, because of his disobedience and hard-headedness, has already been denounced in the spirit. But he looked on the outside as if he was a king. Like he talked about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrins. Paul begins to tell them, y'all look like whitewashed tombs on the outside. But inside, y'all like dead man bones. How many people know the suits, gaiters, and all these good things and hats? You look good on the outside. But there's something wrong with your jaws. Something wrong with your mouth. It keep on rambling the way that all knocked around, and you wonder why things are still coming up on your life. So go for the word in Jeremiah. Jeremiah began to say, before I formed, I knew you. I declared the word of God in your life even before you was even born. Zechariah gives the same word to this man of God. Haggai begins to speak the prophecy into Joshua's life, and they begin to see the power of prophetic come in his life. That means everything that they looked at Joshua as being, they didn't see fit because he wasn't a part of the priesthood, because they looked at his raiment. But I hear the word of God say, take the filthy rags off him over in verse 3. And Joshua was clothed in filthy garments, according to Zechariah 3. It says Joshua was clothed in filthy clothes, filthy garments. And he stood before the angel. How many people know when you come before the angel of God, and God has got a Jehovah God, a Jehovah angel sitting before you, when it looks like things are not right in your life, God will speak a word that will change you in tomorrow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? David was in the field. And he looked like he had his sheep clothes on. It didn't look like he was ready to do anything. But when the word of God told the prophet Samuel to get the flask and begin to anoint the man that's been the next king of Israel, But you got to understand one thing. When things don't look right in your life, and it don't appear to be what you got all together in the eyesight of other people, God has already declared and decreed that no good thing he's going to hold from you, that when he pronounces a word over you, it's going to come to full fruition. It doesn't matter what people think you are. Even as we go forth in this ministry, no, we ain't got all the edifices that we need to have. But you know what? My life and my line is to be able to do the word of God. I'm not trying to get appearance and approval from nobody. My job is to walk according to the Spirit and do what God has called me to do. Let me slow down here, because I see the Spirit of God moving. Saul was on the throne. But he was already denounced in the Spirit. You got to catch this. David had his sheep clothes on. In the sights of people, David didn't look like what he had to be the next king of Israel. In other words, people look at you for what you have. And they declare on you because of your edifice, because of the size, because of the structure, because of the clothing. This thing they have L.A. preachers, that devil is alive. No, we don't live like that. We don't live and gain TV shows off the backs of the labors of the people. The tithes come into the house to bring forth the kingdom of God, to get the widows at the gate and declare the word of God onto their life. Just as we see in the word of Acts, when a man sat by the gate, beautiful. The brother sat there, but he sat there for a while. But I'm telling you, the man of John and Peter coming on to begin to speak a prophetic word into his life. Pastor, you were saying something, and it's like you moving so fast, you sound like a Hispanic up on this thing. Because that's the power of God moving in my life. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When God began to put a word on you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You may suffer violence, but I guarantee by the word of God and the power of the Spirit is taken by force. And I'm telling you right now, even though Saul looked like he was on the throne, God has already denounced him in the Spirit. When people look at you and it don't look like where they think you're going, don't worry. Let them keep on talking about you. After a while, they'll see. Because Saul was denounced in the Spirit, and David was already lifted up in his sheep clothes. And people look at you in the garments of what you got on, and you don't look like you're fit enough. But I'm telling you, the spirit of prosperity has already came upon you, just as it came on Zechariah, and this word is coming from Haggai going to Joshua. The Spirit of the Lord was already upon this man of God. He had already been announced. He had already been forcing through inner sight to do the will of God. But I'm telling you, boy, when you walk against a blind Christian, a man that got a mouth, a woman that got a mouth, and got that Jezebel spirit, they want to speak everything against you but the right thing because the jealousy that's in their heart. Rather than help with you, they want to tear you down. But I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, as the angel Jehovah stood before this man of God, it had already been done to go forth in the Spirit. That God has already declared and decreed a word even in your life, even in the season that you're in. The word of God said, if I could just believe, according to Mark 9:23, that all things are possible to the believer. Now we go on down in this verse, and we look over here in verse 3. Now I want to read this again in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3. Now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments. Now look at that. He was clothed in filthy garments and stood before the angels. That's just the way some of us look when we come out of the world. Don't get on this phone or get in the studio thinking that you hold it in down. You've done things behind closed doors that you ought not to go to do also. But yet you want to come judge the person who's trying to get right. You know what? The Bible does say, judge not that he may be judged. The way you judge, you be judged also. So what I'm telling you is this and that. Before you put your mouth on somebody else, you better turn around and check yourself according to 1 Corinthians 11:23. You know, you first let a man examine himself. Don't you get too high and mighty that you got the word of God and you so good that you can put down somebody else. That you got to check your own life. That you was running behind the corner. You were doing unmarried things and probably still doing unmarried things. You still doing unsaved things and probably still doing unsaved things. The word of God does declare in the book of James 1:8 that a double-minded man, let not him think that he receive anything from God. The Bible says he'd be like a man, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He don't know whether he want to stay in the Lord or be out of the Lord. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when he came before, Joshua came before the Lord and all the filth that was on him, God was, he was in representation of the power, what the power God can do. That means even when you don't look right in the eyesight of people, God has already announced you in the spirit to go forth and go up and do all that he declared you to be. Now, it states that Joshua was a representative of the eternity of Israel. No, he was going to be the future of Israel, according to verse 1 and 2. And we look in the book of Zechariah chapter 3, we see that Satan resisted him and tried to bring him down because of his past. The things that they looked upon him as if he wasn't fit. Now, you as a man and woman of God got things in your past. We all got something against us. What is Romans 3:23 says? All has fallen short of the glory. All of us have something in our lives. Matter of fact, when we look at the book of Galatians, Galatians tells us the same thing. There's something in those verses to where you ought to know that you got to work on your own soul and salvation. You don't got time to accuse anybody else. But we got such a problem in the body of Christ that I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, some of y'all been led around by the hook of your nose too long. And you got to understand that you got to start praying for somebody in your life and help them. It's not about the raiment that you got on. It's not about the position you be holding the church. Yes, so what? My wife is married to an apostle and a prophet, and I don't go around bragging that what I said I am. But one thing about it, we know how to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. You don't see us posting a whole lot of pictures on the internet or the YouTube about how we're growing and what we're doing. We do work quietly behind the scenes. It amazes me that the brother TBN, Crouch, said that he didn't want no ceremony. He didn't want to be honored and recognized by man. But at the same time, yet this young man who passed away, bless his soul, from the Fast and Furious, and people all over the world gave this brother all kinds of recognition. I'm not saying he's going to hell. I don't know where he's going because I don't know what his lifestyle is. But the word of God does declare his will that now one of you be plucked out. We hope and pray that his life, he was a saved man, that he walked with the will and the power of God in his life, but he was a believer, that even now in the position that he's in, God has already granted him authority to go into the kingdom. But we got to understand one thing as I go forth in this scripture. We're going to be back on it again this coming Monday. God has already ordained and declared for you to be able to do what he said for you to do. It doesn't matter what man say. It doesn't matter how they look at you. The problem ain't the man who has authority over you. As the word of God says in Amos, I don't first bring a word into the land unless it revealed through my prophets. Meaning God's got to bring a word in the land through a man. But the man is not your king. The word that he speaks, he's just a mouthpiece for the kingdom. I'm just a mouthpiece for the kingdom. It matters how you look at me and what you think about me, whether I got a large edifice or a small edifice. You look at the wrong thing, but I guarantee the word to come out of my mouth is both spirit and truth. And if you can understand that through God that everything and all things are possible to the believer, you will realize and understand that even in your life, that you got to line up according to the word of God and do just what, say, the Lord has to do. Now, I'm going to go forth in this. I'm trying to study on it, and it's a lot to eat on here, but I want to go forth in verse 4, and I want to hear what it says in verse 4. He answered, who is the Lord, which he answered, and he answered the people unto those who stood before him, saying, some people stand before you and want to accuse you, and he's going to bring a word against all of them who's got accusations against you. And it says, said unto those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments. He said it before everybody. Everybody that accused you don't think you got the right to go. They look at your lifestyle. You may have been in and out of people's beds. You may have been in the bars all night long. You may have been sleeping around, messing with other people's husbands and covenants. But God said, now that your mind has come right, according to Romans 8:9-10, I will now save you from everything that the enemy tried to come at you with. I will cleanse you. And you when I cleanse you, I'll behold and show you everybody that stood before you, all your accusers. I let them believe that I got my hand on you. And I'm telling you, man and woman, God, through the power of God, no weapon formed against you. The word of God is declaring right here. It says in verse 4, and he answered and spoke unto those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him said, behold, I have called your iniquities to pass from you, and I will clothe you and change your raiment. God will change you in ways you've never been changed before. Let us go down to verse 5, because I know we're running out of time here, and I really ain't supposed to have a 30 minute with you, but I feel the power of God moving in this one. And he said, let him set a far mark upon his head. In other words, a turban. You see the priest wearing the turban. You see those are the Pharisees that wear these turbans and these nice hats. But this is a different representation of the mark that's upon his head. It's a representation of the kingdom. It's like a crown. And he says, so they set him a far mark upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Listen to this. And the angel of the Lord posted unto Joshua, saying, thus say the Lord of hosts. This is prophecy right here, baby. And it's coming at you real strong. The Lord has been speaking this thing. The Bible says, thus say the Lord of hosts. If you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my charge, and I shall also, and also, you shall also judge my house, excuse me, and you shall also keep my courts, and I will give you place to walk among those who stand by. Now I'm going to tell you how this thing is lined up for those of you who were with us on last week. When we go back over to the book of Deuteronomy, let's flip that right quick, because I'm going to be able to close this thing out, and I'm going to offer a word of salvation for those who want it. You know, it matters to me that you get saved, but you know what? The will is in your hand. I ain't going to force my hand upon nobody, because we live in a time now, you're grown. You know what you're doing wrong. You know what your life is. I ain't got a drill or nothing in your head. You know what you walking, right? But if you want to receive the prayer of salvation, then you may. If you want to continue in these studies, then you can. Now, it says, according to the word that we just read over in verse 6 of chapter 3 of Zechariah, it deals with the same thing in Deuteronomy. Now, we know the word Deuteronomy, according to the word of God, if you really study the Bible, it's like a revised covenant. Why is it a revised covenant? Why am I explaining this to you? Because you got to understand that the former covenant, when it came out of Egypt, wasn't broken. It was broken. It didn't fall through. The 12 spies began to go out, and they began to bring back word to the man of God that didn't supersede what God had planned for them to do. All the rebellion in the book of the Numbers that they did, and didn't heed to the word of God. And God still could deal with them in such a way that he had to send them out into the wilderness. That everywhere they went, when they was out in the wilderness, they walked around that mountain for almost 38 to 40 years. When they walked around that mountain, guess what happened? Everywhere they went, there was a hump in the ground. Somebody was getting buried. And the word declared, God declared a word unto them that even when the death began to stop, those who were 21 and up would die, and those who were 21 down would live. The ones 21 and down who lived was going to be the ones who were going to bring this new covenant into being. That means the old ones who disobeyed died off. And we understand in the book of Deuteronomy that he gets over here and they begin to fight. You see, reading Deuteronomy, they came against giants. They came against all kinds of things. They came against land that was filled with milk and honey. But God told them, that's not your land that I want you to have. I'm getting that land to somebody else. But your land is coming soon. Now, God gave them a pre-understanding, a pre-announcement of what he's about to do for them in the book of Deuteronomy 8. He said, the commandments which I commanded thee this day shall you observe to do. Read in Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. The commandments I commanded to you this day that you should observe and do, you should do that you should may live and multiply. Now, look at this. If you obey the commandments, you're going to multiply. What is that saying? If you be obedient to the word of God, you seek him first and do all he declared for you to do, what did he say over in Zechariah 6? I would enable you, 6 and 7, he said, I'll enable you to walk before what? If you walk in my way, I'll enable you to command my courts. But if you ain't walking right with God and you slipping and tripping, you ain't going nowhere. You know what? You begin to be double-minded, like it says in James 1 and 8. Don't get it confused. Don't get it twisted like Twizzlers. You can't continue to live a life of the world hiding from man. In other words, you hide from the inferior, but you lack to the superior. Am I talking to somebody? The commandments which I commanded thee in Deuteronomy 8, that I command thee this day, shall you observe and do that you may live and multiply and go into possess the land which the Lord, he swore to you. What did he say in Numbers? What did he say in the book of Numbers 23:19? He said in the book of Numbers 23:19, he said what? Am I God that I shall lie? Or am I son of a man that I shall have to repent? The commandments again, he swore a word unto them. If they do right, and it's unto your fathers. Now look what it says in the second verse. And if thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, and humble thee and prove thee to know that there was thy in thy heart. God's got to test you what's in your heart, whether thou be willing to keep this command, keep his commandments or not. And look at this in the third verse. And he humbled thee and he suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. I'm talking about God to give you something that you ain't never seen before. One thing about the power of God, we're going to shut this thing down, that even when you go to your cupboard, and you look in your cupboard, and you see food that you need to go to the grocery store and get, no, that ain't like God. God never left his throne, because he said over the book of Genesis, he spoke everything into existence. Matter of fact, when we go from Genesis to the New Testament, we look at John 1, he says, in the beginning was, the Word was, the Word was with. That means God spoke everything into existence. But now as you being spiritual beings, God said, I'm going to put a suit on you. That even as you are spiritual beings, you're going to have this suit that you have on right now to function in this earth. But don't forget that your spirit is still the head of the kingdom. It's got the power to fight against the flesh that you have, because flesh leads you into temptation. It's got the desire to pull you away from that what God has called you to do. This is why I tell you, don't get intertwined with Egypt. Egypt was never positioned to be destiny for the season that you're in at this time. Your destiny is designed for you to be able to mingle with that what God has for you to mingle with in this time and not be rebellious against that what he called you to be. You got to realize and understand two things. God will not lie to you. He's not a God that he should have to lie. He's not a son of a man that he should have to repent. Meaning God's word is a true word, that even when he humbled you through the midst of the things you're going through in your life, and he'll feed you in ways, not with just the physical manner, but in spiritual ways, he'll allow people to come into your life and give into your bosom. When you don't even think you got the ability to get your rent paid, your bills paid, hunger in your house, take care of your kids, God said, I am provider God. I'm a Jehovah God. I'll give you everything according to my will. I'll give you everything in order to my purpose and my power. And we also understand and know that in this season that we're in, we got to understand that first through salvation, we got to understand we got to receive Christ. And if we can't receive Christ, then where we are, guess what? We by no means receive the benefits that God has in store for us. First comes the basics. You got to receive salvation. You got to be in the, you got to get on the team. In other words, as I play collegiate sports, you got to put the uniform on. If you're never going to put the uniform on, guess what? You can't get in the game and play. You can't play. You know, if you're not dressed accordingly like the ones who had the party, and he said the priest, he gave a party about the wedding feast, and he invited all these men who had all these nice businesses, and he went to tell them about how the wedding party is ready, the table is set. All of them made excuses about why they couldn't come in. That brother who said it in the book of Joshua by the pool for 3 and 8 years, he didn't even know. God didn't give him a whole lot of lip. God just asked him, do he want to be saved? He didn't tell him, I knew your ways. Jesus knew he'd been there for a while, but this is what I'm saying. It doesn't matter where you are right now. If you're willing to be saved, if you're willing to let Christ come into your life, God will let you eat the fruit of the land. Our time is running out right now in the name of Jesus. I always say the prayer of salvation for those who want to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the precious power of the Holy Spirit. We're standing by to receive that what God has given unto us, we give unto you. But I want to first give you this prayer announcement, the prayer of salvation. God loves you. Sin separated you from God. Jesus died for your sins. You can receive this word now, and you can know that God loves you. And if you repeat these things after me, you'll understand that through the word of God says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall. He didn't say you might. He said you shall be saved. I don't know where you are right now. I don't know if you had a true confession or not. Well, if you had one of those confessions where you seem like you're still doing things you ought not to do, maybe you need to get around some people that can speak into your life. Maybe you need to get somebody to lay hands on you and get that demon about you that keep on bothering you. Whether you deal with a demon of perversion, whether you deal with a demon that runs around, whether you deal with a homosexual demon, I don't care what kind of demon you deal with. You deal with an illness demon. There's something that's in you that's not supposed to be there. You're still asking God over and over again, Lord, what must I do? I believe you profess this word after me and begin to follow up on these studies on Paul the Harvest Radio. There's things that you could be taught about what God is about to do for your life. Now, here we go. the prayer of the Lord and praise prayer out loud. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I repent for all my sins and I open my heart to you to let Jesus in, come into my life. Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. I believe you died for my sins and you are raised from the dead. Come on, speak it with me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said, this is a prayer. You got a prayer for salvation. For those who want to get a hold of me, Pastor Charles Ellis, we're about to go off the air here in just a few minutes. My number to get a hold of me is 214-870-2146. Those of you who want to go to the website can do so. It's www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. Once again, Pastor Charles Ellis, we thank you for joining us on today. We thank those who joined us in our earlier service, and we continue to pray the blessings upon your life, that God continue to touch you and be with you, and all that you have in store for you may come to full fruition. Hope you'll be joining us on this coming Monday at 7 o'clock. As always, go to the website and say go to services. Click on the service sign. Go down to the right-hand side. You see all the information you need to join us on this coming Monday afternoon. God bless you, and God keep you. Thank you for Harvest of the Power of the Harvest broadcast.